Okay, Ed, so the title of this presentation is Investing in the Roaring 2020s. Ed has been a long-term optimist, and he'll admit that that has worked out really well by being in that camp. But his central thesis is called The Roaring 2020s. So I wanted to start there, Ed, if you can outline your thesis and talk about what that means, and then we'll go on to some other areas.
Yeah, well, when we all look at these financial markets, we all have a tendency to have a sense of deja vu that maybe we've been through similar kind of experiences, and if we haven't actually lived it, we all have studied the markets and the economy and how they all interact. So history is relevant, and so it's not unusual for us to compare the current environment to previous environments. And it just dawned on me that the 2020s rhymes with the 1920s, so let's think about that a little bit. And it doesn't take much of an imagination to see similarities. Now, when I talk about the 1920s and the 2020s, people remind me that, well, the 1920s ended very badly. There was a Smoot-Hawley tariff that was passed in June of 1930, and that led to that was one of the main factors that led to the Great Depression. But in some ways, we're sort of stress testing the U.S. and global economy right now with the tariffs, and it's kind of a similar shock, and yet the economy is hanging in there. When we go back to the 1920s, things look pretty grim. And in 2020, when we were talking about the roaring 2020s, things also looked pretty grim with the pandemic. So it looked a little bit out there to say that it was going to be a great decade up ahead here. But the same thing happened in the 1920s. A couple of years before that was the end of what they called the Great War back then. And then in 1918 and 1919, we had the Spanish flu. Killed tens of millions of people. At the beginning of the 1920s, we had a what was then called a depression. They hadn't come up with the word recession, and so things looked pretty grim at the beginning of the 1920s. And yet, it turned out to be the roaring 1920s with tremendous technological innovation, tremendous productivity, tremendous increases in standard of living. And I say it's not a perfect analogy, but there's similarities. With the technology revolution that we're experiencing now, I would say that we're in the digital revolution. The digital revolution actually started before the 2020s. It started way back in 1965 with the IBM mainframe. The idea of the digital revolution was to process as much data as we possibly could, as quickly as possible, as cheaply as possible. And obviously, we've made a lot of progress since the IBM mainframes. Along the way, we had the mini computers, we had the PCs, the laptops. A big innovation was the cloud. And now we have AI, which is not revolutionary, it's evolutionary in this kind of context. And so the thesis is that, like the 1920s, there are technologies that we currently have that are being incorporated into our personal and business lives that will increase standards of living, will increase productivity. Keep inflation down, allow the economy to grow more rapidly, and be very positive for the stock market. And now I'm starting to talk about also the roaring 2030s. It doesn't have to end badly. And I think with the certainly with the benefit of hindsight, we've seen the economy continue to dispute the pessimist view that things are terrible and that the economy is going to go into recession. For the past 3 years, we've had the most widely anticipated recession of all times that didn't happen. We called it the Godot recession. We were not in that camp. We were betting on the resilience of the economy, the resilience of the consumer, the resilience of capital spending. And so far, that's played out quite well. So here we are. We've got a few more years in this decade, but the real GDP in the U.S. is an all-time record high. Consumption is at an all-time record high. We've got the stock market at an all-time record high. Corporate earnings at an all-time record high. And when you think about what's happened over the past few years, the decade started out with a pandemic. The pandemic, once we recognized the pandemic, we very quickly in the United States had our lockdowns for 2 months. causing a significant recession that lasted all of 2 months, and that was the last recession we've had so far. Then what? Well, from the lockdowns, we went to social distancing, so that still was a shock to the economy. Then we had supply-side disruptions that led to a surge in inflation. The Fed realized that maybe inflation was more persistent than transitory, so they raised interest rates from 0 to 5.5%. Now we've got tariffs. So all these things happened, and yet look at how well the economy has resisted that. There's a tendency, I think, for the pessimists to kind of focus on Washington and how Washington's policymakers are meddling and muddling the economy. And I kind of turned that logic around, and I said, isn't it amazing how well the U.S. economy has done despite Washington? Isn't it amazing how well the U.S. stock market has done despite Washington? And my thought is that, Washington, our politicians, they're sort of a pain in the ass that we have to deal with in our daily lives when we're running businesses. And we figured out how to deal with them. And what we have, all the rest of us working stiffs come into work every morning, taking into consideration that we've got politicians meddling in our affairs making things a little bit difficult. But we overcome that. We factor that into the way we do business. And the result is, quite an impressive performance for the U.S., but even the global economy, despite all the turmoil that we've seen. And I'm not just talking about Trump's turmoil. I mean, in the U.S., we used to have 8-year political cycles. So for 8 years, we kind of had consistent policymakers. We had the presidents getting 2 terms. Now they seem to get 1 term. We used to say throw the bums out after 8 years. Now we say throw the bums out after 4 years. And we just had this amazing shock from Biden's policies for 4 years to Trump's policies, which will be with us at least for another 3 years. And yet, again, the U.S. economy is doing remarkably well. So I think you have to take that into consideration. Recently, we've seen that GDP was revised up for the second quarter from 3.3% growth to 3.8% growth. The third quarter, according to the Atlanta Fed, is tracking at a growth rate of 3.9%, which is very impressive. But if you want to worry, clearly people are worrying about the labor market, and I think there's some technology is having an impact on creating distortions in the job market, and I think those will be sorted out. But if we're saying that the government's revising employment numbers downwards and GDP upwards, it clearly means productivity is doing extremely well, and that's the roaring 20s. The two words for the roaring 2020s is resilience to describe the economy and productivity to describe what's going to continue to drive it.
Okay. Do you want to, maybe we'll shift gears into